As we continue this morning in our series, Just a Walk Across the Room, I would invite you to take out your teaching notes that you'll find in your bulletin and to follow along and write things down as you feel led to do so. You know, last week I was at a meeting and I saw a friend that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I noticed right away that she had lost a tremendous amount of weight. She looked great. And when I asked her how she did it, she told me about this device that she wears on her wrist called a Fitbit. Anybody have a Fitbit or seen the ads for those? And then she told me with such excitement how this device has helped to change her life. It tracks her calorie intake. It counts how many steps she walks a day. It even monitors her heart rate and her sleeping patterns. She eats better. She sleeps more soundly. She has more energy. And the more she talked about her Fitbit, the more excited she got. And I got excited too. And I started asking her questions about, like, where did you get that? And how much did it cost? And she almost influenced me to buy a Fitbit, which I'm still considering. But my friend is a living testimony to the power of the Fitbit. Now, later I got to thinking about our conversation, and I thought about, what if Christians were as excited and as prepared and as passionate to talk about our faith and what it does for us as my friend was about her Fitbit? What would it look like, just even here in our community, if we were this ready? Like the moment somebody mentioned Jesus, to talk about the difference he's made in our lives. Actually, as I thought about this, I felt a little heartache, because I realized that having Jesus in my life is unquestionably more important than owning a Fitbit. Why do we, as his followers, have such a difficult time talking about him when we're out there among our friends? Well, really, there are several reasons why we hesitate to talk about Jesus. And one is that in our culture today, Jesus is not a polite topic of conversation. I mean, it's easier to talk about the Fitbit today than it is to talk about Jesus, because people believe that religion is a private matter. You can be irrationally passionate about all sorts of things. You can be passionate about the Baltimore Orioles, so much so that when you meet up with a Yankees fan, you can say, "How can you root for the Yankees? Man, you're a loser." And you can say things like that because it's okay. You're talking about sports. And you can be so passionate about your music, your movies, your restaurants, where you like to shop, but mention Jesus, and it's like, well, you're getting a little personal, aren't you? Another reason I think we resist talking about Jesus out there is that we don't feel like we're prepared. Given the opportunity, maybe we're not sure what to say or how to say it. And then yet another reason we resist, I think, is because in our day-to-day life, we're just not thinking about it. We're not thinking about how we can help that person that we meet to move toward a closer relationship with God. And so there are many reasons why we don't share our faith with others. It's not polite. We don't know how to say it or what to say. And to be honest, in our day-to-day life, even we as Christians aren't thinking about it. Well, during this series, Just Walk Across the Room, we're attempting to tackle all three of those concerns. And we've been talking about evangelism not as something that somebody else does, but as something that we all can do. We've been looking at some simple steps that you and I can take to point others toward a life-changing relationship with Christ. Now, Pastor Dave told us last week about evangelism as meaning living the three D's, developing friendships, discovering stories, and discerning the next steps. Well, today I'd like to talk about those next steps. And what do we do when we have a trust-filled relationship with someone? And we come to that point in our relationship with them where they are ready to talk about Jesus. As I think about that next step, I'm reminded of a conversation I had many years ago over the fence with the neighbor that lived next door to one of the churches I was serving. Every Sunday, this neighbor took his mother to church, but he confessed to me that he wasn't really sure about Christianity. He would never tell his mother this, but he felt like most of the people at her church talked a good game but didn't really live the life. And he said he wasn't so sure he believed any of it, and when she passed away, he probably wouldn't go to church anymore. Now, we'd been neighbors for a number of years, and he knew I was a pastor, the pastor of the church next door, and so I had heard the same story many, many times. But on this particular day, he asked me a question that he had never asked me before. He asked me, "Why is Jesus important in your life?" And I have to confess that at that moment, I was so surprised by the question that I wasn't quite prepared to answer it. Not the way, thinking about it later, I really wanted to. I probably gave him 3 points in a poem like we preachers do. But maybe you've had conversations like that over the backyard fence or across a table somewhere. And if someone asked you, "Why is Jesus important in your life?" how would you answer that? Well, our Walk Across the Room study this week gives us some helpful direction on how to respond when we have that opportunity. And the focus of it is on discovering the power of a story. You know, from earliest childhood, as our notes say under number one, we all have an affinity for stories. Over the past few years, as Betsy and I have become grandparents, we've discovered how much children love stories. When we visit our 4-year-old Chloe, we are barely in the door before she is already telling us her stories about her latest adventures. And then she loves to snuggle up next to us with a whole stack of books and to just read one after another over and over again. And she also loves the stories that are told in animated movies. I mean, you could come into the room and blow an air horn, and if she's in the middle of Finding Nemo, she won't even notice. Stories capture us from the earliest time in our lives. The stories of Jesus capture us in a powerful way. Stories he told over 2,000 years ago that still capture us today. The stories of Jesus are so powerful because they have two important qualities. First of all, they have the power of similarity. In the story, Jesus talks about things that even today are relevant to us. We can even see ourselves in his stories. He talks about a business owner who needed some work done and went out to hire laborers. He talks about a woman who was standing in her kitchen one day baking homemade loaves of bread. He talks about a man who had two sons who just couldn't get along and how the one ran away and squandered a great deal of money before he found himself. He talks about a stranger who came along and cared for a man who was a victim of violence, beaten and left along the road. Things that we, even in our life today, can relate to are in the stories that Jesus tells. Bill Hybel says, every person alive today has a story too. And possibly the greatest realization someone can make is this, that my story fits into God's greater story, and that's the greatest story ever told. So Jesus' stories have the power of similarity. They also have the power of surprise. The stories of Jesus cause us to see God or our world or ourselves in surprising ways. They challenge our assumptions and overturn our expectations. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells one of the most familiar stories about a farmer sowing some seed. But this farmer isn't like other farmers we know. You know, most farmers, before they plant seed, plan out to put it in the place where it's most likely to bear fruit. They know where to sow the seed to have the greatest harvest, but not the farmer in Jesus' story. He just scatters the seed with reckless abandon. And some of it lands along the path and the birds come and eat it up. And some of it falls on rocky ground and in the shallow soil it springs up right away and then withers when the sun comes out. And some of it gets scattered among the thorns and gets choked. But then there is that seed, Jesus tells us, that falls on good soil and produces a harvest that is magnificent beyond our imagination. And so Jesus tells this story, and as we read in the Message translation, beginning in Matthew 13, verse 10, the disciples come up and they ask Jesus, "Why do you tell stories?" And he replies, "You've been given insight into the kingdom of God. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity disappears. That's why I tell stories," he said. "To create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight." And so, if your heart's not ready, you're looking at a story like that one and you're saying, "Man, that's a stupid farmer. I mean, who would sow seed all over the place like that?" But if your heart is ready, what you see is how extravagant our God is. And the surprise of that story is that the deeper you go into it, the more you begin to see yourself in that story. And you begin asking yourself, well, what kind of soil is my life? And am I ready to receive the gift of God that is being broadcast in my direction? The stories of Jesus are powerful because we can relate to them, and they're powerful also because they cause us to see God and others and ourselves in surprising ways. Now, after we develop friendships and discover stories and discern next steps, Bill Hybel says living in 3D plants the seeds for evangelism to take root. But being able to tell an effective story, that's what bears the fruit. Now, in his book, Bill Hybels offers some great coaching points so that we can all discover our own faith story. And he tells us that faith stories that connect are not long-winded, but brief, not complicated, but simple, not filled with religious jargon, but can be understood by anyone, not holier than thou, but shared with humility. And then he talks about this before and after pattern that the best faith stories follow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17 says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new." And so we look at the Bible and we see so many before and after stories, the old passing away and all things becoming new. In telling his story, Zacchaeus, the wealthy tax collector, might later have said, "I was gripped by greed, but now I'm gripped by the needs of the poor." The Samaritan woman at the well might say, "I walked in shame, but now I walk in grace." The man who was born with a disability might say, "I was blind, but now I see." The Apostle Paul might say, "I devoted myself to killing followers of Christ, but now I'm devoted to following Jesus." Now the point is that every Christian has a before and after story. And some of you can point to some dramatic change like those that I just shared. Others came to faith as a small child. And you may not remember a time when you were not aware of God's love for you. And yet, your before and after story might be about how you've become more vibrant and more mature as a follower of Jesus over the years. Your simple, straightforward before and after explanation of Christ's work in your life can have a profound impact on somebody else's life. Someone might hear your story and see similarity, and hear your story and be able to see their life in a whole new light, just like the stories Jesus told. Now, last Sunday, George Cananizado courageously volunteered to be the first to share his own before and after story. And it was brief, and it was simple, and he used words that we could all understand, and he presented it with humility. So now George has a story. And if he's talking to his neighbor over the fence someday, and the neighbor leaves the door open, he can say in 100 words or less, "Let me tell you about what Jesus did in my life." Now the invitation, of course, is that every one of us here would be able to tell our story as well. And to help us with that, there are two wonderful women, Tina and Laurie, who are going to come and share with us briefly about their own stories.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, Tina.
Oh, great.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So what do you think about this new sermon series, just walk across the room and small group study? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I've been just loving the discussions we've had and, you know, sharing stories and hearing people's stories. They're so powerful.
I like it, but the whole 100-word thing, I've never been a woman of few words. So I'm really struggling with that. How about you?
Yeah, it's hard, but I can see why it's important, because if we're too long-winded, then, you know, it might turn people away.
You're right. Yeah. I understand. You're right.
I've been working on mine. Can I practice it with
you? Oh, sure. Yeah, let me hear it. Go ahead.
Maybe it'll be easier if I practice it with somebody, and then that way I can share it more easily.
Sure. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
I'd love to hear it.
Thanks. So I grew up going to church. Mm-hmm. I did all the right church things. But the problem was I never had a relationship with Christ. Mm. I never knew what that felt like. Mm-hmm. So when I turned 19, my dad died. It was really tragic and it was really sudden. And I didn't know who to turn to. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to feel. I didn't have anybody to rely on. Mm. And I felt lost. Mm-hmm. I felt so alone and I felt just empty inside. Mm. But at that exact time is when I met my husband, Barry. And I met his parents. And they were people that just lived their faith in a way that I saw Christ in them. And when I saw Christ in them, then I knew that's what I needed. I knew that's what I wanted. So, yeah, I started working on my own relationship with Christ. And since then, I just keep working on it. You know, it's a journey. We just keep growing. So, now I feel so much more loved. I feel so much more fulfilled. It's awesome.
That's a great story. Awesome. Well, mine's a little bit similar. Church was always a part of my life. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 12. I really didn't know what that meant. I followed Jesus, but I kind of stayed kind of far behind because if I made a mistake or screwed up, I didn't really want him to see him. I was hoping I was far enough behind that he didn't see me. Well, that all changed when I took the Disciple Bible Study class here at church. And I learned what it was to have a personal relationship with Jesus, which was wonderful, and the power of the Word and the Spirit. So now, rather than sneaking way far behind, I follow him a little closer. Now, I still make mistakes. When I do, I take Jesus' hand, I ask for forgiveness, and we walk together, and that's been wonderful. So I guess I can do it in 100 words. And
yeah, about 100, right?
Maybe I could talk a little less. What do you think? Do you think I'd be able to talk less anymore going forward?
I think you can do it. That's awesome.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Tina. Good to see you. Hey, see you in church.
All right.
Great story. See ya.
So that's it. And that was wonderful. Thank you so much. Now I want to tell you, as we begin to move toward the close of the service, that your story is important. It's yours alone, a gift from God. No one else can tell it. And telling your story may connect with someone in such a way. Telling your story may help someone to see things anew in such a way that they will move closer to the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is your assignment, should you choose to accept it. Write your own before and after story. There are instructions for doing that on the back of your teaching notes. And as you write your own story, I would like to extend 3 important invitations to you. And the first one is that after you write your story, I would invite you to email it, either to me or to our Director of Discipleship, Tina, or if you're in Pastor Dave's group, or any of you would want to send it to him. We'd love to read your stories and also be able to respond to them. Secondly, we invite you to sign up for the Walk Across the Room celebration that's taking place next Sunday in the evening, April 24th, beginning with a potluck supper at 5:30 in Fellowship Hall, and then a special Super Sunday worship celebration. Allison is going to lead us in worship over here in the auditorium. And then, third invitation, I want to ask that you would prayerfully consider, who is that one person, or maybe those two people in your life, that you would want to pray for that opportunity to talk to them about your faith story? On Sunday, May the 8th, we're going to have an attendance challenge. And we want to invite you to begin praying for those people each day. And perhaps as God would open doors, you could invite them to come to church with you on Mother's Day as we celebrate together. So what if? What if you and I were as excited, as prepared, and as passionate to talk about our faith and what it means to us as somebody is to talk about a Fitbit, or their favorite sports team, or a television show? What would it look like, even here in our community, if you and I were ready, the moment somebody mentioned Jesus, to tell them what Jesus has done in our lives? May it be so, as we continue in the name of Jesus to just walk across the room and reach out in love to someone whose life would be so blessed to have Jesus. Amen.